All right. We are on Gittin Daf Tes Zion, but we've got to go back a little bit. We took an interesting detour here. We were talking about Rav Chisda and the opinions that he has to combine half measures, because we were talking about a case of one witness or witnesses for the first signature, but different witnesses for the second signature, and we were asking if you can combine them. So then the Gemara segued into talking about Rav Chisda's opinion of a wall for the sake of Rishus, of the domains on Shabbos. It talked about what if the wall's half made of this, half made of that, and then we said, yeah, we don't pass like Rav Chisda, because we do hold you can combine them, which is actually very halachically relevant to our modern day Erevin. You can use hills, you can use fences and bushes and that in combination with the hills. So that was one example. Then we brought up another example. Another example was Ilfa. Ilfa, I think his name was Ilfa, said, Yadayim tahoros lachatzayin, or ein tahoros lachatzayin. Can hands be tahor when they're done half and half, or no? We said, well, what are you talking about? Are you talking about half like this, half like that? Both of those are already taught. You could do it that way. So we said, rather, what we're talking about is the kamashe paga paga diade. You basically, you washed half of the hand, and then you washed the other half of the hand. So then Gemara says, wait a second, didn't Rabbi Yanai tell us that you can't make your hand tahor half and half? So he's saying, yeah, that's if you washed half and then dried half and then washed the other half. We're not talking about that. Here we're talking about when you washed one half, you didn't dry anything off, and then you washed the other half. D'ikamachka tofeach. I assume that means that there's still water dripping, something like that.
Maska tofeach is defined here, translated as liquid sufficient to moisten. In other words, there's enough left. Right. That less if you went like this.
Right, you'd feel the water.
Yeah, it would move water all over the hand.
Okay.
You know, sometimes when you ask your kids to wash their hands, they just put that little bit on.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so now we're talking about v'chi ika mashke tofeach mai have, and even if the hand was moist, so what's going to do with it? V'hatanan, doesn't the Mishnah tell us in Taharos, one of those mesechtes that everybody knows very well, hanitzok v'hakatafres v'mashke tofeach eino chibor. When it comes to these three, oh, hello, Henry. When it comes to, good morning. When it comes to these three types of liquid transfers, none of them are going to be considered connecting one to the next. What are we talking about? First is hanitzok, water which is being poured out of a vessel, and it's coming out, I guess, in spurts. Hanitzok, the first word of the
stream.
A stream. But what's the
liquid?
Right. But what is the uniqueness to this? There's nothing going on now. Water that's coming out in a stream. That's it. That's all we're talking about. That's not going to be mechaber.
Here, huh?
All right, and similarly, water which is coming down, or a liquid which is coming down from the top, on top of a mountain, down through a slope, and similarly, water which is enough to moisten, but it's very little, I guess. If it touches the hand, if any of these touch the hand, um, So that means that it's moist enough, but it won't transfer any moisture. All of those are not going to be a chibor. What do we mean not chibor? They're not going to connect one liquid to another. So what are we talking about? Lo l'tuma. If somebody were to pour from a vessel which is tahor to a vessel which is tame, so that's what it means. The stream from the second vessel, which is tame, is not going to therefore go back to the first stream and make it tame also. Right, because you got one pouring into this, or at the top of 16A, Danny. One clue over here pouring down into this. So there's a stream that connects them. Yeah. So we're thinking that maybe, oh, this one's tummy. It'll go backwards and make this one tummy. So no, that doesn't happen like that.
Doesn't
work like that. I actually was asked this question last week. Someone had some meat leftovers on a plate inside of their sink. And they were pouring hot liquid from a parv pot into that sink. And they were wondering that since there was a stream going from the pot into the sink, does that make the pot into a flation?
It doesn't go backwards.
Yeah, so we're saying, it happens to be that they were really asking about the steam, so it's really not a problem at all. But here also you see that there is sometimes that we'd be machmir for that, but I don't think we would say that lechatchila, that libidieva, that would happen also. So here we're saying that the stream does not connect the two. Not for tuma and not for tara. So in the same way that the tuma is not going to transfer, it's also not going to be good enough for being mitaher. In what way? If you had two mikvahs, and each one of them, there wasn't enough water, also that's how we're talking about. If, let's say, you need to have 40 sa in a mikvah, then now we're saying that the only thing that's connecting them is the stream. So that's not going to be good enough to make it into a mikvah that has 40 sa. Yeah, either through a stream or through a sloped trickle, or through maskas of fat, which is, I don't know if that's different in its direction or anything, but there's just very little liquid that connects the two, so that's not going to make it into a proper mikvah size. So, but one of those is maskas of fat. Maskas of fat, we said, was the example of our hands. The hand was half and half, and before you dried this off, right, it was maskas tofeach. It was like moist, but it wasn't moist enough that you could, you know, it wouldn't cause moisture on anything else. So then we said, does that count towards making the other part of the hand connect with it for the sake of tara? So we said, no, that's not good enough. That's what we're saying now. According to this, Rabbi Yane tells us that's not good enough. Or Rabbi Yana was trying to say that it is good enough. We're trying to interpret that way. Now our mission is saying it's not. Says we're no lo sricha. The Ika in our case of Ilfa, the question wasn't Mashka Tevech. Yeah, we know the Mishnah. Ilfa wouldn't be asking a question about something which is explicit Mishnah. Rather, lo sricha the Ika tofeach lehatviach. That there is still enough moisture there that if you touched it, you'd become wet also. It would be a wet, it would transfer the wetness. And therefore, that would be good enough. So wait a second. If it's tofeach la'atfiach, it's not just maske la'tofeach. It's not just a little moist, but it's really moist. So we also learned that one already in a braisa. And there shouldn't be a question. Tofeach la'atfiach chibor. We said that if something is that moist, so then it is going to be a good connection. So then what is Ilfa talking about? If it's half, if half your hand is that moist, and then you do the other half, so then that's good enough. So we're still trying to figure out what's the question of Ilfa, the half and half question about washing your hands, says the Gemara. Duma, maybe when we say Tofeach Latviach is a chibur, it does connect, it is good enough. Maybe that's only the Inan Mikvos. Maybe that's only in terms of a mikvah that you can connect it to. In what way? How do we find that? Rabbi Huda, he is Kunt Rabbi Huda Tan, and Mishnah in Mikvos, another Masechta that everybody learns very well. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mikvah sheyesh bo arvayim sa mechuvanos, if there's exactly 40 sa, v'yard yishnayim v'tavlu, and then two people come into the mikvah, one after the other.
Bezek, like they did it together simultaneously.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Because then the words say bezek or zeh, one right after the other. How else could you understand that? I know the parentheses say otherwise. But Mesoras HaShas says that can't, it doesn't make any sense because the next words are bezek or zeh. So then the Rishon is Tahor. The first guy who went...
No, I actually...
Okay, go ahead.
Just offering like... It's a variety of different scenarios.
Oh, so they're supposed
one
to be like
they go
O
together.
In between?
One is one.
Oh, okay. So these are two options. It doesn't sound like that because there's no word O in between. Right? Usually there would be something that differentiates it, like a Vav or an O or whatever. But either way, okay, so fine. So two people that go into the mixel, one after the other or together. Not really sure how you understand the conclusion, which is the first guy is Tahor and the second guy, Vasheni Tami. If they're going in together, I don't know which one's first, which one's second, but... maybe it means that one of them hit the water first. I don't know. But the point here is, when the first guy goes in, he's naturally going to have some water on his body. And when he has some water on his body, he's clearly taken away some of the tumah. He's taken some of the water, right? Because his body is full of the water. Rabbi Yehuda says, Im hayu raglav shel harishon nogos b'mayim, Af Hasheni Tahor. Wow. This is getting really, really, novel in my estimation. This is kind of crazy. But basically what's happening is the first guy goes in the mikvah, and then he's getting out of the mikvah, but he's still connected to the water. So his body is connected. So then the second guy goes in. Now, if you were to look at the body of water which is in that mikvah, it's a lot less than our volume, not a lot less, but it's our, right, when the first guy got out, he took a bunch of water with him, right? And it was exactly 40 sour saying. Now Rabbi Yehuda is saying, yes, technically the water in the actual basin is less than 40 sour, but as long as that guy's foot is still connected, we are going to assume that all of the water that's on his body is still part of the mikvah. When we first started, it's like, how are we ever going to say there's a practical case of So here, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that as long as his body is moist to that extent, so that it's going to be connected to the 40 Sa'ah and it's going to make it tahor. And therefore, again, we have no reason for Ilfa to ask this question because the same thing could apply. If half of his hand is to that extent of water, so then when you do the other half, it completes the process. Just like Rabbi Yehuda would say that water is good enough for the entire mikvah, so it's good enough for just your hand. So then again, so now we're asking the question, I guess maybe we're asking, do we pass like Rabbi Yehuda?
Can you make a mikvah tame?
Not if it's 40 sa'ah. Once it's 47, then it is the mitahir.
It's the mitahir.
Yeah. So here, I think there's another aspect of this, because we started this braisa saying, maybe that's only for a mikvah. And it's only for a mikvah when, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But in terms of netilas yadayim, maybe we can't say that, just reading the note here. Because a mikvah's the whole basis for a mikvah is whether it's connected to enough water. But when it comes to netilas yadayim, we're not looking for a chibur. This is all a read-in. I wonder if this is all Rashi. Dilma le'in chibur le'in in mikvahos. This is Rashi talking. Rabbi Huda hi mishum good achas. Mi'u le'in in netilas yadayim. We're asking, you have an atila to kitun to kitunah chazan olo. Yeah, long story short, we're just saying maybe netilas yadayim works differently. Maybe when it comes to a mikvah, all you need is some connection to the other parts of the water. When it comes to netilas yadayim, who says that that's what it's about? For netilas yadayim, we're talking about different parts of the body have to be mitahir. Can they be mitahir? Not at the same time. That has nothing to do with the fact that one part of your body is tahor and then the other part isn't tahor, but then you wash the other part, so there's a connection. We're not talking about connections. Connections is a mikvah question. We're talking about Did you properly do Netilas Yadayim? Just generally, did you properly do Netilas Yadayim like the way the Chacham say to do it? Okay, so let's keep going. Amru Yirmiya, Hare Amru. Haba Rosho Viruba Vimaim Shuvim, Vitawar Shinafla Rosho Viruba Shlosha Shalugan Maim Shuvim Tame. If a person is either poured upon or he puts his head into something which is not proper mikvah water, but rather Maim Shuvim, which is collected water, so we're saying it's Aser. And so it's Tame, and he's not allowed to have Truma. And this is a Gezerah because of people who might not use the proper mikvah. We don't want them to use Maim Shuvim, something like that.
Was this after the
mikvah? He was already Tahor. I don't know if he went to the mikvah. He didn't go to the mikvah, but he was Tahor. This is basically like the person, this is a gezerah. Gezerah is that we don't want a person to do this because many times a person will go to the mikvah and because the water is a little disgusting, they would go take a shower afterwards, something like that. And we don't want people to think that you can just take the shower afterwards, I think. Right. Right, if you were to see, in modern day, all right, this is already talking about the times of the Gemara, which is kind of impressive, but if you were to see a person who, after they go to the shower, they would go over and they eat truma, so then you would say, oh, look at that. He was tummy before, he took a shower, and now he's eating truma. But what people don't see is the fact that he went to the mikvah before he took a shower. So if all you see is the shower, you might think, oh, the shower is mitahir, and there happens to be some leniency there for very extenuating circumstances. But the point is that the Chachamim made a gzera that if a person went into some water, collected water, or the collected water was thrown upon him, so then they say they can't have truma after that. Okay.
So he was tahir, but it's a gzera that he can't be truma.
Yeah. He was tahor, but it's gzera midrabanan, and they can't have truma. So by Rabbi Yirmiya, ask Rabbi Yirmiya, chetzo b'viyah v'chetzo b'nefilah mai. We said two things. One, the guy puts his head into a bucket of water, and two, a bucket of water was poured on his head. So now we're asking, we know that the only time that that's actually a problem that's decreed upon you is if you did shlosha lugin. I don't know how much that is. Shlosha lugin. If you did half of that by going into the water, and then another 1.5 log when the water went on you, so my, can you combine those to make it relevant for the gezerah that you took a shower, basically? So what's the teku? Don't know. Okay, another question. Amar Saba Hare Amar Ba Kari Chola Shinesu Tishaka V'Mayim Tahor. We said that Ezra told us, and this is what I was talking about before, even though Ezra established that the Baal Keri should not, even though Ezra decreed that a Baal Keri should not touch a Torah, when it comes to someone who's sick, we were lenient to say that as long as they take a shower, that's good enough. A test cabin for a shower, that's good enough. Even though that's collected water. So Amar Rav Papa said, Amar Rav Papa, Hari Amru, Baal Keri Chol, Hashnetzel, Tishkabim, Tahor. So now we're asking, so not a question. It could have been a question, but okay, not a question. But Rav Papa, Chetzu, B'tiv, Chetzu, V'nisinamai. Let's say some of it is, you went into the mikvah a little bit, and then the other part of the body, you poured it on yourself. So take, well, not half of the body, but maybe it's 4.5 kav, and then another 4.5 kav. Could they take you five? Okay, back to Gittin. Echad Omer, funny, not the Echad Omer, funny, Nechtan Pasul. If you have one witness of both, it's not good enough. Omer, Shmuel Bar Yehud, Omer, Yochanan, Losh, and our Mishnah only says that it's no good. Elish, and Haget Yosim, Nachzi, Deshneim. When the get was not coming from both of them, meaning that we have another similar case, that would be fine. Meaning, if both of them said that, but they both brought the get from the other country. I'm not really sure how they both give testimony then. About get yotzim mitachas de shnehem, kasher.
So the usual case is they both come with the get and say it.
Well, what's the case of the Mishnah? I'm still not figuring out. We know that one testifies for the ksiva, one testifies for the chasima. But how does that happen? We're saying that it's not that both of them brought it. Because if both of them brought it, that's the second part, so then it's kasher. So how does the first one happen?
Well, I mean, a get could be written in front of one person.
No, I know how the witnessing could happen. I'm wondering how the testimony can happen. One person says b'fanei nechtav, and one person says b'fanei nechtam, but only one of them brings it?
Right.
So how do they both say that?
So I think what I'm reading here is only one of them was appointed as an agent.
Okay.
The other wasn't. And so
the other one came along even though he wasn't appointed.
Yeah, only one of the two was appointed an agent. It's incumbent upon him to testify that he witnessed both the writing and the signing.
Uh-huh.
Since he failed to do so, the get's invalid.
So when it says
then... Basically, he's not an authorized agent, the other guy.
Right. So when it says the second part...
comes along.
That Yosef...
He did see it.
Yeah, but... So what Aaron is saying is sort of like a semantics thing, that he just wasn't appointed as the person to bring the get. He just tagged along. He just happened to be there on vacation. Oh, by the way, I also saw the chasima. Oh, perfect. The other guy saw the ksila. So that's not good enough. Something like that. So that's what, it's a hard thing to understand. But when it says here, get yotzim mitachas yidei shneihem, the get comes from both of them, it sounds almost like a physical thing. They're literally holding on to it together. But what it means is that one of them is a shliach. And both of them were a shliach. So the kasher, alma kasavar, on tam and vez, alma kasavar, shnayim shevi, get me the asayam, ein suyash and shiom, funny enough for the next time. That teaches us that you don't need to say this phrase at all, because the whole point is for, to make up for testimony. The chacham believe one witness instead of two. So in this case, if you have two witnesses, You don't need to say b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. Amar li Abaye, ala me'at save the ketani shnayim om b'fanei nechtam ve'achar om b'fanei nechtam v'pasul. Rabbi Yehuda machshir tamad te'ein haget yotzim tachas de shnayim. Haget yotzim tachas de shnayim machshirei rabbanan. Are you telling me that if both of them were appointed as the shliach, so then we wouldn't be pasul? Right, in this case, two people say b'faneinu nechtav, and only one person said nechtav. They didn't have to do that at all. They could have just had the first two people be the shliach and say, here's the get. They don't have to say anything. So the Gemara said, yeah, they didn't have to say anything. The Rabbanim would be okay with that. Rabbi Yehuda might have still have a problem. So I'm really in, yeah, the Chacham would be okay with that. So Baya says, V'chi ain't get Yosef Yitachas Deshneim, my pligi. And when it doesn't have the two people being appointed as a shliach, so then there's only one shliach. So what's the machlokas here? Marta, where the Chacham believe that even though we'll believe one shliach, Gazrin and Dilma Asi Lichlufe Bekim Shtaras Ta'ama V'yerecha, we're worried that in other cases people will think that you can just have one witness do everything. As opposed to, sorry, not do everything. One witness do every other kind of document, not just a get. If one guy comes and doesn't say the phrase Faninachtam, we're worried that, oh, that's not, that's just a regular witnessing. That's just a regular witness testimony. I could do that for everything else also. Once he says, the implication is that if he says the word Faninachtam, also that's a different thing. That's a different thing. The Chacham said he could use that. But I'm not going to assume that I could use that for other kinds of documents, which aren't gittin. But in this case, we're saying Rabbi Yehuda holds that the get would be kasher when two people say b'fanei nechtam, and one person says b'fanei nechtam. Rabbi Yehuda said that was good enough, even though the get is not being brought by two people, it's just being testified by two people, really three people. So he says sever lo gazrin, and he thinks that we're not worried that other people will come and see this and see that there's only one witness on the second part. Because everyone saw that there were really three witnesses here. Two that said explicitly, b'fanei nechtav, and no one's going to think, oh, you see that second half, only one of them testified about the second half. People aren't going to therefore assume that you can do such a thing, be made for another test, document with only one, because they just had two. That's sort of like what it's talking about, I think. So lishna achrin amrilei. There's another version of this whole story. Amar Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, afilu get yotzim tachas shneim possible. Even if the get was brought by two of them, it would still be possible. Amar Tosafot, shneim shevigam diyasam tzrich shom b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtam. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the implication is that even if two people were to come, they still have to use the special language. So Amar Le'abayay, Elameata, if that's true, so what about the end of the Mishnah, which says, Seifa de gatani shneim om b'fanei nechtav v'echad om b'fanei nechtam. Right, Pasti Rabbanan, are you telling me that even if the husband had sent two witnesses to give us this get, so then Pasti Rabbanan, it would still be no good? So I'm like, yes, that would still be no good according to the Rabbanan, who require b'faneinu nechtav for both parts, according to what Rabbi Yochanan just said. So that's the Gemara of Micah. What are, according to that version, what are the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing about? So Maris Rabbi Chacham, who say that you require the two witnesses to still say the magic words b'faneinu nechtav, the v'she'ein b'kiyin l'shma, back to the opinion of Rabbah. That really there has to be lishma, and therefore we always need the special words b'fanei nechtam to be said, in order to, not because of testimony, not because of witnesses, but because we need to guarantee that there is lishma. And you could bring 100 witnesses for one part of the get and 100 witnesses for the other. If they never say the words b'fanei nechtam, so we are not guaranteed that it was written lishma. So Mar Savar, lishma she'ein edim tzvin l'kaimo. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's all about witnesses, like Rava. It's all about witnesses, that you need the witnesses to be Mekayim the get. And if you don't have that, so you don't have anything. But if you do have that, so you don't need anything else. So here, what he's saying, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, we've got two witnesses. And if the two witnesses are bringing the get, that's good enough. They don't have to say the magic words. It's all about having two witnesses. And we have two witnesses here. Says the Gemara, Lema Zeraba Veraba Tanaihi. We're trying to revive the good old machlokas, Rabbah and Rabbah. Are you telling me that this is exactly lining up with Rabbah and Rabbah? So let's now say that Rabbah and Rabbah are again justified. If you remember, we basically threw out that whole thing because in the end of the day, we said, yeah, even Rabbah holds like Rabbah. Yes, Rabbah says it's about Lishma, but he also holds that it's about Adam. So really, it's not really machlokas. So now I'm saying, wait a second. Are you telling me that our Mishnah on Daf, whatever that was, Yudalit, was all about the machlokas Rabbah and Rabbah in this case? And therefore, Rabbah and Rabbah both have a Tanaic hat,
argued dispute.
A Tanaic opinion to hang their hats on. So they were low. No, don't get too excited. Rava Mataris Krishna Kama, Rava Amarlah. Rava would say that the way that we said it the first time, if you remember right, we just gave two possibilities. One was from Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and the next one was from also Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yochanan. But if the machlok is what exactly they said, either they said that the whole machlok is only when there's only one appointee, or the machlok is even when there are two appointees. So Rava, who's going to try to understand the Mishnah in his own way, is going to understand it based on the first interpretation of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda in the name of Rav Yochanan. Kalishna Kama, the first opinion had nothing to do with Eidim Mitzuyin L'Kayimo or Lishma. It just had to do with having one appointee. And Rabba Amar Lach, and Rabba's going to say, Dekuli Amma Be'inim Lishma, really everyone agrees you need Lishma, V'achma Eskinin La'achar Shalamdu, only after they learned, in which case you don't need to establish a Shema. But didn't we say that Rabba also holds Ubigzer Shem Yasar Davar Kulo, that even though everyone's got Lishma, we don't want to start, being lenient to that before I next time, because people are going to start thinking, oh, I don't need to have Lishma anymore. So Kamifli, Demar Sabra Gazrinim, Demar Sabra Lo Gazrinim, the Chachamim who say that the get's still no good, they hold that you still have to say Befeinu Nechtam, because we don't want things to go back to the way that they were, that people didn't have Lishma. And Mar Sabra Rebbe Yehuda in the Mishnah saying that no, it doesn't, you don't need the Gezerah, because this is, I assume this is so abnormal, yeah. In Ushchiach, we saw that before from the case of the woman who's bringing the get herself. So in Enos Shriach case, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't think that we need to make a gezerah, that you still have to say Lishma.
So in the case where we say you don't have to say it, mm-hmm. you're not making mm-hmm. this gezerah, mm-hmm. you're being a witness,
mm-hmm.
it's a case where the husband just gives a get to the shluchim,
yeah.
saying, I'm divorcing my wife, give this to her.
Yeah, but they're two witnesses that said it.
Right, they're not involved in the writing or signing.
Well, we don't know if they are or not. They just didn't say the magic words.
Well, but they could be involved.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, is that...
Yeah, well, it depends what they did see. Maybe they heard the get, they heard it being written or something like that.
They have to actually participate in...
Participate, yes.
The writing and signing of the get.
Yeah, they have to have witnessed it. I think so.
So we're just giving them the lenient.
Or maybe they didn't. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe if they have two witnesses, you don't have to say.
What's the most lenient?
I think maybe you're right. Maybe that the husband gave it to two witnesses and said, I'm giving this get to my wife.
It was written.
And the fact that it has witnesses on it is good enough for us to assume that it's Lishma, because again, this is La'achar Shalamdu. Everybody knows how to write a get this time. So says Gemara, is that true of Lizal Nami Rabbi Yehuda Bereisha? Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda disagree with the first part of the Mishnah? That when one person says Fanei Nechtav and one person says Fanei Nechtav, that also should be good according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Lo Gazrina. So Gemara says, Ha'itmar Allah, we already said, Amar Ula Chalukai Rabbi Meir Af Bereshona, that Rabbi Yehuda was disagreed with the Chachamim, even the first part. We did say that. We do say that Rabbi Yehuda would be okay with that. So Ma'as of Rabbi Yosha, Oshia Le'ulam, Rabbi Yehuda Ma'ash Bezuv Lo Ba'acheres. Rabbi Oshia says no. Rabbi Yehuda only is allowing the second time where there are two witnesses in the first part, one witness in the second part. So my love, Lemute Echad Omer Echad Omer doesn't that mean that Rabbi Yehuda also does disqualify one and one? He only allows two and one, but not one and one. So lo, Lemute Befanei Nechtam Aval lo Befanei Nechtam. It's not coming to say that. It's coming to exclude a time where nobody saw the ksiva. That's when Rabbi Yehuda would say it's no good. Why would you think to say that Rabbi Yehuda has to disqualify that? Isn't that obvious? But no, Sakadai Tachamina Ho Velo Gaz Rabbi Yehuda Gzer Shem Yasu Davar Kulo Dilma Asa Chulufa Bekim Shtaras Ta'alma Ve'ed Achad Nami Lo Gazar. Maybe you would think that also with only one witness about one part of the get, that would also be no problem, because we're not worried about somebody coming to look at it and think, oh, you could use only one witness. I'll do that for my other document too. So Rabbi Yehuda, even though he doesn't make one gezerah, he does make that gezerah. That gezerah he's still worried about, that people will come to use this concept of one witness in another situation. Kamash Malan, that's why we have to say that Rabbi Yehuda is still worried about that. We have another situation. Rav Yehuda, a different person, says that two people that brought a get from Dina Sayam. So then we have the Machlokes, and only one of them says Pnei Nechtam, the second one says Pnei Nechtam. That's one and one. So that's Machlokes, Rav Yehuda, and Rabbanan. That's itself the question that we just asked. Rav Yehuda also disagreed with that, about that. All right. So that's another proof that Rabbi Yehuda also disagreed about that, and that he would also be machshir. He would be okay with one and one. One in Pnei Nechtam, one in Pnei Nechtam. Just like we say by the two and the one, even though it's not explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah, when he disagrees about that also. When he disagrees with the Mishnah, we're assuming he disagreed about that too. Okay, we'll continue with a story next. Okay.